Greetings and welcome. I'm Gary Loper, and I'm pleased to bring you another segment in the Business Building Systems calls. And this is sort of becoming a perpetual telesummit. So you won't have to be hurried up to be able to listen to the calls and rush in and rush out and go through that. I think my vision is to be able to make this a series of calls that's going to be permanently placed on the websites where you can be able to get access to this information. So our intent is to be able to provide you, that's the small and home-based business owners and entrepreneurs of all niches, some of the best tools and partners that you should consider adding to your success team. So to receive advance notice of these calls and interact with us live during the calls, go to GaryLoper.com under the coaching tab and look for the BBS, Business Building Systems tab, and you can be able to register for the calls there. The replays are going to be available on the website, so you can be able to check them out and be able to, hopefully they'll be able to stay up there for a prolonged period of time. One of my deep passions is to assist others in finding their voice, their passions and their gifts to serve the world in positive ways. This Business Building System series will bring you experts in many areas of business development who will be sharing tips and strategies to help you leverage technology, to build your team, and to get more accomplished by doing less, which is going to allow you to be able to do more of what you do best to serve the world. So today we're excited to be able to share with you some little technology, and by the title of the show, are you smarter than your smartphone? And this is just an incredible topic to be able to share, because we're walking around with more technology, more science, more data available than probably was available on some of the Apollo space missions, and we're not using even a fraction of it. So I want to be able to introduce you to Doug Skinner. And let me bring up a little bit about Doug so you can be able to let you know where he's at and how he's going to be able to help you become smarter than your phone, or at least tap into more of its potential so you can be able to be more productive. Doug enables sales, marketing, and service professionals with productivity strategies using technology and applications for mobile devices and cloud services. His career spans 20 years working on improved business processes with owners, information workers, software developers, security, and IT professionals for top companies such as Microsoft, Siemens, and Cisco. His company introduces technology systems and strategies that increase outputs, assures secure and safe operation, and improves work and life balance. So, welcome, Doug. Great to be able to share some time with you.
Thank you for the invitation. It's great to be here with you, too.
Oh, it's a pleasure. And I know that in our conversations if people are afraid of their cell phones and some of the technology available, so I just want to be able to help set it up, is that there's a lot of technology. And when we talk with people who know a lot about how to be able to tap into these technologies, we don't want to get too far into the geek speak. So I just want to be able to let people know that we're going to give you a lot of information, and we're going to keep coming back to make this as simple as possible, so you can be able to master your cell phone. Does that sound like a good plan, Doug?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Fear not the smartphone.
So Doug, talk to us a little bit about the potential of the technology that we have walking around in our pockets and our purses that was more than what those early space flights had. So, and how we can be able to better tap into that.
Absolutely. You don't have to be an astronaut to take advantage of the smartphones in our pockets and purses nowadays. it seemed like a very fruitful conversation subject for business people and personal family, friends. Like, what are you doing on your smartphone? The thing that people, everyone I talk to agrees that the problem today is we only use 20% of the capabilities in our hands. And that's intriguing for me because I'm on a quest to enable the mobile device owner and to help with things like synchronizing your systems and increasing your productivity by giving yourself a push button plan for disaster recovery and identifying glitches when you think of your typical daily activities or business processes. And what are the workarounds? How could that mobile phone in your hands be a tool that makes your life better or more productive?
Yeah, I'm just thinking there's so many possibilities. You know, we're, you know, with some of the things that are in the news, recently, when you look at some of the natural disasters that could happen, man-made or nature-made, kind of thing, and even if being able to use a cell phone, if you can get a signal going through there, it can wind up saving your life. And in addition to be able to, there's just so many possibilities there that a lot of people sometimes get scared. It's like, okay, well, this is kind of intrusive. But if you look at, how can we answer that intrusive kind of question? But the possibility to say, okay, well, look at all the other advantages that I'm getting from this.
Yeah, you can always turn it off if it's too intrusive, right? In fact, if I go to a meeting and I'm in a conference room with folks and someone's attending to their phone rather than to what we're doing face-to-face in real-time live, that's kind of an intrusive interruption. And, as long as the rules baseline is set, someone organizing the meeting, if you have important things to cover, set the rule. Hey, during the time we talk here, maybe we could refrain from getting on the phones and doing stuff until the break, right?
And it's probably different because I know different meetings, as I'm building my speaking business, I've seen a big shift over the last 5 years. Where people always start the meeting, start their presentations and say, turn off your cell phone because they didn't want the interruptions. And now the social savvy speakers are encouraging you to use the phone in a silent mode and tweet out the great things because they're seeing some of the marketing advantages of being able to have those people be able to parrot out their brilliance on Twitter immediately, Twitter, Facebook, and be able to get an extra, marketing push.
I've definitely been one of those, both ends of that scenario, and I think that just goes congruently with the subject of setting the baseline, right? Whoever's organizing the meeting sets a guidance on how to use smartphones. It's not the same when I'm at the dinner table with my family and the kids are there, and their thumbs are working 50 miles an hour, and we're not able to connect as a family. That's one of the no-nos that I like to have them present when they're present.
So what I'm hearing too, and that's one of the things, because I haven't used my cell phone nearly as much because I'm spending a lot of my time on the desktop. So all the tweeting, all the other communication that I'm doing from a bigger screen. And that's what I've gotten used to, so I don't use my cell phone as much as I could, and I imagine it's just the process and how you'd be able to do it is I've chosen to say, okay, I'm not going to be tweeting from my phone. If I can be able to tweet 10, 12 hours a day from the desk, I don't need those extra time away. That's, I'm going to connect with Carol, I'm going to connect with the people that I'm at. So that, that becomes part of our education as well, is learn how and when we can be able to best utilize this and when we need to be able to make, face-to-face connections.
Well, everyone's got different needs. Your you're not, you don't have to use your phone because you're not away from your desk.
Right.
Some other people don't have that luxury. And that's why I call them mobile device owners, because they're a mobile.
Mm-hmm.
They could be working from a coffee shop, or they could be on the road in their car, parked in their car, not driving, but still, and or another person's office, or a hotel, or wherever, and need to do a tweet, right? So they're going to have Twitter on their phone. It's a free app, and they're going to be savvy about using it. They're going to be using apps like Hootsuite on their phone, right? So that the full functionality of Hootsuite comes to you on a mobile phone. Wow. So you don't have to stop being productive because you're away from your desk.
Right. So let's talk about that. Let's just, you know, talk about the increased productivity. And, you know, we did jump into the social media platform because that's probably what I'm naturally going to do. But for a lot of other people who are these mobile device owners and they're working out of coffee shops and they don't have a home office or they can't work at home, and they have that kind of thing, you know, what are some of the ways that tapping into their phone and some of the applications that are available that are going to be able to have them be able to conduct their business in a mobile world?
Well, if you're asking, it sounds like the same kind of thing as what is the most productive things you do on the phone when you're out and about. At the top of the list, I'd say text messaging, right? If you know someone else's mobile phone number, whether it be a family or a friend or a business associate or a partner or joint venture partner, and you know their mobile phone number, you have a direct connection instantly through text messaging. And that's like the best for me. Next to that would be email, right? You can connect your email, all the different emails. Some people don't really have more than one. They have more than one email, but they don't bring them into their mobile phone. So that's another thing. They could have their company email and their private email, or their old email and their new email, or this domain and that domain. All those emails could be fed into that inbox on your handset, in your hand. So that's, I think, another really high productivity app. Most people, if they're not playing games on their mobile phone, they're doing email or messaging. And next to that would be calendars, right? So setting up an appointment when you're with someone face-to-face, or you're talking to them on the phone and you need to check your calendar, having your calendar in your hand where you could set up the appointment right then and there. You could see whether the time's available and set it. So those are, I think, probably the most worthy productivity app right there.
And one of the things that I learned, and maybe you can be able to confirm this, is email is still a very effective medium to be able to communicate. But being able to have a variety of things, because there's a lot of people who prefer phone calls, or they're going to prefer text messages in order to be able to communicate with them. And I think the number on text messages, isn't like 90% of all text messages are read within 5 minutes of being sent?
Yeah, I wouldn't know the exact number, but I definitely agree that it's an instantaneous communication. And in the younger generation, they're sending thousands of these messages out every month. It's insane. I don't know how they don't have arthritis in their fingers.
Well, there's probably another job opening up in the future for therapies. I've been able to do that, or the human body adjusts. They'll work out. But I was going to think about something about this, because I know that there's so many other things that are untapped, even with text possibilities. Broadcast text messages that you can be able to send out to groups of people. So if you're going to be able to notify them about a meeting, they can be sent to more than one recipient at a time. And I have also seen some other things where people can be able to put their free offers on it. You know, say, you know, text, you know, 45789 to my number, and you'll get my free reports. So there's some just incredible ways, you know, to be able to tap into some of these other technologies to really boost your business.
Absolutely. What you mentioned something that triggered a conversation I had with a registered nurse the other day. She had wanted to have a way to help her customers when there was a fall in the house and their alert system wasn't working, or they wanted to give notice to their friends and family or their neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
They could use that that broadcast SMS, short message service, text messaging, if you will. You could send one text message to 1, 2, 3, 5, a group of people, and it would be easier for everyone on the same. It's like a group email, right? But on texting. So
mm-hmm.
broadcast text. I think that's a real cool use case right there. Because if you're asking for help and your daughter is one of the five, it's going to be better than one-on-one, you sending your message to your daughter saying, I slipped and fall, I need help getting up. You'd like to also have your neighbor know, and maybe your son and your daughter know. So it's not going to be burdensome for that one person to know that you might need help if you're sending out a help message. The group text message thing can be set up, and it's just like another entry in the address book.
Cool. Now we tapped on those things because, you know, these are just different ways so we can be able to see that we can be able to enhance our personal lives. So we can have that communication and be able to have a team of people to be able to help with those falls or those incidences, or even to be able to look at, you know, even reporting the good news. So if everybody wants to know about, you know, Jimmy's soccer results or Sally's recital, whatever it is you can be able to send those out instead of being able to say, okay, well, I got to call grandma, I got to call auntie, I got to call this, I got to call them, I got to call this. And then you wind up spending hours on the phone to be able to, you know, send a group message out that way. You know,
private group message.
Yeah. And I love the fact on my new iPhone is that I've got the voice to text.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah.
So I don't even need to sit there and type it and wear out my thumbs. I can just text it and go in there and just edit it a little bit and when you get done and send the message. So that's an incredible, incredible tool in technology. So watch for that. Or get an iPhone, and I don't have Apple shares yet, but...
The Apple voice to text, it also works with Google Android, voice to text.
Okay,
and
cool.
And the Microsoft Windows, right? So all those smartphone platforms have that functionality, and I use it all the time because it's definitely a time saver. You can, it's remarkable what you can do. You talk to your phone and you're texting someone.
Yep. So if you're not aware of that, and I think that sometimes that's what happens for a lot of people, is they're afraid to be able to push the buttons. Because I found that when I'm helping with people with Twitter, they're afraid to go places, afraid to push buttons if they're going to do something. But you know, I just looked at the thing, and I it's a little microphone that's down on the bottom of your application. You press that microphone, and you'll hear a little ding. You just start talking, it'll spin, and you press the button to make it stop, and that text, you know, and what you spoke will come out. So it's amazing, amazing time saver tool.
I love it. On the Droid phone, the microphone is right next to the space bar on your keypad. Wondering what that little icon is. That is a microphone. And it's give it a try. It's a cool thing.
Cool. I know we talked about this a couple times. It sort of snuck in a conversation, but other ways to be able to keep in touch with our customers. So if we're building our business on the go, are there applications, are there tools, things that we can be able to have on our cell phone that are going to be able to help us keep in touch with our customers, beyond text and email, as far as just being able to keep in touch with them or be able to get the reminders that we need to do, that we've got this phone call, this presentation, these things coming up. you know, are there the CRMs, and explain what that is and how they're available on our smartphones.
Sure. I was, for the business people, CRM is customer relationship management. There's often a free mobile version available to carry the data on your mobile phone, which you already have on your other computer. So that's definitely a smart use case. And what I've discovered with mine is whenever someone calls me or whenever I call someone who's in my database on my smartphone, now I can record that in the log of that record. So I can append notes, which could be an audio file, to that record. And it's done for me as far as matching it to the record because of caller ID in the phone. So that's a good example of leveraging technology. Someone calls me or I call someone. When the call ends, I can just talk to my phone and append an audio file about what we talked about on the phone call, next steps, whatever, to that CRM record, to their contact in the database. And then I have a reference point and I can forget about it. I don't have to fill my brain with trying to remember everything.
Mm-hmm.
Or I only have to have little slips of paper. I'm writing stuff down and the little slip of paper got washed in the wash in the laundry. I don't have those problems, right? It's all on the cloud. It's all appended in the background. It's matched to the record. And I can reference it. I know where it is. I can reference it later. That's a good use case for CRM on the mobile phone, coupled with CRM on the cloud or the desktop. So that's very powerful there.
Cool. Now, will that also work for our projects and our other notes that we want to be able to write to ourselves? So is there a project function in some of these CRM systems that will allow us to keep on track of what we need to do?
There are a whole slew of productivity apps under the category of project management and note-taking and tasks lists, which you can use that have that functionality. Here's another use case. I'll give you an example of an app that I just simply love because it saves me hours weekly. Have you ever tried to organize a meeting with, let's say it's five people, and they're all five from different companies or on separate platforms. They're not all using one system like fellow employees would be. And it's like herding cats because when you're trying to set up a time where five people are going to have a meeting or a phone call together, how do you get visibility to each other's best time that's available without having to do back and forth 20 times in an email chain? So rather than have that thread of email go forever and trying to organize a simple phone call with five different people, there's an app for that. Why not use an app called Doodle, D-O-O-D-L-E? Which is in one snapshot, it's like a survey. One email goes out to all five people, they list their times available to match the suggested time, and then everybody has visibility to the best time for the most people at a particular point in the future when we can reconnect. And that right there is an enhancement to what might normally be available in an app like Outlook. But I use that for group meetings all the time. There's a whole bunch more like that. That if you just want to know, go to the App Store. If you're using an app, let's say it's Hootsuite or whatever it might be on your desktop, and you want to enable your mobileness, then go to the App Store. Go to the iTunes and search on that app in the iTunes, and then download it and install it. And log in and watch the data get populated and the configurations and the settings automatically come down, and then you can start oftentimes without even having to read a manual. You just start using it because you know it already.
The tools that you're already using on your desktops, like I said, they're available on there. Now, one of the things, and this probably brings up a conversation that we had earlier this week, is that, you know, we're going to download the Facebook and Twitter apps to our phone.
Yes.
Now, their normal default is to be able to get your attention all the time. And yeah. So there's always bells and whistles, and it's almost like a baby crying. It's like, feed me. It's almost kind of Pavlovian. It's like the bell's going to ring, and we got to go get there and be able to get it. So, and to me, that's almost the anti-productivity kind of thing. It's like, okay, we're hidden, you're putting this on there, but now all of these bells are trying to be able to get us to go there on when they want us to, as opposed to when we want to. So, is there a way we can be able to modify all of those bells and whistles so we can be able to choose when we're going on to be able to best use our time?
Short answer, yes.
Is it a simple fix?
I think it's pretty straightforward. You know, people that have these mobile devices, whether it be iPhone or iPad, or whether it be a Google Android smartphone or tablet, are going to go to settings, right? So they're going to start at the main menu, and then they're going to go to settings, and then they're going to see where they can turn on or off those alerts, flash badges, flash notifications, and throttle that potential distraction. Some you might want to keep, right? So there's you could do it on a wholesale basis in the settings, or you can do it individually at the application level. And so, yeah, those are definitely winning strategies to do it. I know that my Samsung phone said if you're at a meeting or you're sitting at a desk somewhere and you don't want to be interrupted, you just turn the phone on its face instead of its back and lay it down, and automatically it will spam notifications. You won't get any phone rings or buzzes or that either.
I know for my iPhone there's a switch. I can be able to flip it from a silent, it turns the ringer off.
Yeah.
But that brings there's a couple different ways that we can be able to do this.
And at the highest level, I think the most convenient way is putting it into what they call airplane mode.
That's available and that's useful outside of an airplane?
It'll work in a train, it'll work in a boat, yeah. I use it in all those places.
Well, I know, but again, by the name of it, it says airplane mode. You know, if we just take that on its face value and say, okay, well, that's only something that I use when I'm in an airplane. But you're saying that we can be able to use that other times to silence the phone?
It will turn off.
What happens?
It turn off the calls, the phone calls, and so they'll just go to voicemail. The messages, the text messaging, and also the data network features, right? So all those apps that would be tethered to the network or the internet would be throttled as well when you go into airplane mode. And I use that quite frequently, not only when I just want to be free from distractions, but when my battery's going down and I need to save battery. And I want to control how that, at the end of a long day, my battery gets too low and I need to make some critical calls or do something critical on my terms, not on their terms. Then I'm in airplane mode, and I just throttle the device usage without burning battery. So, those little radios in the phone will turn off. So you're not going to be, the phone won't be searching for connections to the cell towers or connecting to the Wi-Fi network or the 3G or the 4G network or those things. It'll suspend that activity and save power. So that's another cool thing about airplane mode.
Okay, so the airplane mode is going to be able to disconnect it from the internet and the Wi-Fi kind of, but there are other productivities. So we can be able to be recording voice notes or being able to access some of the other documents from our CRMs or do some of those file updates while we're in that kind of status.
Yeah, that would be like offline mode. So anything that did not require connection online could easily continue without the with even when airplane mode is on.
Cool, good. Well, this probably brings up another question. I know that sometimes it intimidates people. So we talk about this connectivity to the phone and being able to disconnect from the cloud, right? Is that the new term now, where everything is stored, or the connectivity kind of thing?
So I get a lot of questions. Well, what's the cloud?
Tell us about that.
You've been using the cloud for 20 years. I mean, if you had a Yahoo account 20 years ago, you were using the cloud then. And, you know, the definition of cloud today is more expanded because there's definitely more companies out there that are providing more and more services. And now the cloud will give way to other descriptions like the Internet of Things, right, where your refrigerator is connected to the Internet and it talks to your phone and tells you to get some groceries because they're empty or whatever. You know, the future that we have, there's going to be more sensors and devices talking with each other on the Internet that go to the phone for us.
Okay, cool. All right, so with that cloud, so there's all these devices that are going through there. So the natural question is probably a lot of people come up there is, okay, so if I'm going mobile and all of these things are talking to each other and everything else, is my stuff safe? If my passwords, if I'm logging into all of these things and it's stored up in some kind of Cumulus Nimbus cloud, how are we going to be able to make sure that we're safe?
Well, there are thunderstorms in the clouds, and password breach is definitely one of those. And so the question becomes, what would be a proper storage system for my passwords? You touched on that. That's a juicy topic. Passwords need to be off post-it notes that are sticking on your monitor and, you know, taped here and there. Or in a drawer, you know, printed out on a book or in a drawer. They should be loaded into an encrypted database, and that encrypted database should be synchronized so that it sits both on your local machine or your handheld machine or also in the cloud, right? So synchronized off-site as well as on-site. So you've got multiple copies, and they're all password-protected, and they're all encrypted. And there are, you know, there are companies that do that service, and everyone should have that because the cyber crime is big and bigger, getting bigger. So I would definitely endorse the notion of exploring that and educating yourself, picking an app, and moving into that direction if you haven't already, or refreshing your commitment to that and do a reset and use it because. It's very real. The threats are very real. But the tools.
Okay. Now, I know that you've done a number of videos, and you're going to be creating a bunch of other videos and tutorials on how we can be able to do this, and how we can be able to best use these apps and set up the safeties and, you know, all the things that you've mentioned so far.
Oh,
you know. So one, let us know what you've already accomplished, what you've put out there, and some other ways. That for the people who want to do it themselves and be able to learn this, where can they find, you know, the best resources to be able to learn how to use their phone, use the cloud, use these different devices?
Well, that's such a great question. I want to thank you for asking that. I've got a set of videos on YouTube that it's Intentional Honesty is the YouTube channel. And there's over 30 videos that I've produced, many of which are like introduction or how-to videos on many of the subjects that we've been talking about. I've got an e-book on learning strategies to jumpstart your mobile productivity freedom at honestintentions.com. There's an e-book there for productivity strategies on mobile and that I'd like to share. It's free. And so I use YouTube, you know, a how-to. Search on YouTube often yields really good, relevant, topical, consumable how-to tips and tricks and strategies to using these services or these new apps. And so no one's an automatic master at it. It takes a little bit of time, especially for some, but it's worth it. Some of the other apps that I wanted to tell you that I use, also, you know, killer mobile apps. There's one called Waze, which gives you the traffic congestion, right? If you're hitting on the road, and you're looking at the maps, Google Maps does this. You can view how, you know, your route, your to and from route, and see the traffic congestion. There's one called Square, which, you know, there's,
right.
has one, where you could actually accept payments online right then and there and have the money go to your PayPal account or your bank account, right, zipping a credit card through it, and you're doing it on your mobile device. Those are, like, really powerful apps. Then there's, you know, if you're setting up events or doing mail campaigns, I know there's a mobile app for MailChimp, and there's a mobile app for Eventbrite, and there's, you should have a password app, right? I mean, that's, no, that's definitely goes without saying if you're one of my customers. But those, you know, there's, and then the cloud service for file storage, like Google Drive and OneDrive from Microsoft, and OneNote. We didn't talk about Evernote. Evernote is a use case for that is, you know, there's a mobile app right there that you can marry to your old Evernote account that you've been using. I would definitely suggest putting those together. I use Meetup. There's a Meetup app that's mobile that's really quite handy.
Cool. Yeah, I'm just looking at my phone here because I know that even the default ones, the ones that I use most often, is just a notepad.
Yes.
And so I can be able to either type in or be able to speak in. My note is a little bit of a reminder, and you can sync that up with your computer, and it, you know, it gets delivered to your mail. One of the other things, too, is my voice recorder.
Voice recorder and camera, right?
Yeah, the voice recorder to be able to do notes. And, you know, when I was doing networking groups and things, and people said, well, I want to be able to write notes on the back of your business card. And I'm just saying, well, just let's step into the new century here, folks. You've got a recorder on your phone that you could probably be able to speak it and more clearly because that little, you know, 2x1.5 card, whatever, you know, 3x1.5, you're not going to get the note on there. But if I can be able to press a button, I can get a voice note and I can know what it is. And then if I could sync that up to a CRM.
Yeah.
It's just amazing. You know, like even when you talk,
why do you suppose people don't use their voice recorder on their mobile phone more?
I have no idea. Maybe they're just afraid of their own voice, or they're afraid of buttons, or something. I don't know, but it's just saved me so much time, and so many other notes and follow up, and you know, and I know Deidre Miller's listening, and Deidre was on a call recently about why we need VA, and follow up is so essential, and. You know, that's just been a magical formula for me to be able to have a recorder.
Yeah, I like to meet people, networking and trading business cards. I like to collect cards when the forum is, you know, suitable. But I can't fit all the notes on the back of the cards
about
our conversation and recall that. The voice recorder is a perfect use case tool for that use case. And we don't use it. It's like people don't use it. And it's really simple. I'm just thinking that people, they don't have a way of organizing it, right? They're just going to have a bunch of files that have like a bunch of numbers appended, and they're going to be in a folder. They don't know where the folder is. And
well, it's nice. I know with my iPhone, and I don't know that you can be able to speak on this from other applications. But if I'm recording a voice note, I can be able to name it before I save it. And then it gets downloaded to my iTunes, and I can just go move it into another folder and be able to decide what I need to do with it or save it or not.
Yep, there's perfect.
That's amazing.
Perfect organization system right there.
Yeah. And I know something, you know, too, you know, you talk about YouTube, and YouTube's been one of my favorites lately because there's so many different things on there. You know, like you said, you know, you can search and you can be able to find all the how-to videos. I've been finding I've been finding albums and concerts and compilations of albums. I've even found, 11 hours of Tibetan bowl music. So if I need to be able to just focus and concentrate and do something productive, productive in writing, creative, that kind of music just, will settle me. But so I can pop that on and I can be able to have uninterrupted music for hours from an application. I may never buy another CD again.
and
it's all there.
Of the dodo bird. Yep.
Yeah. So, it's just amazing the things that we can be able to do and the podcasts to be able to get, all the radio shows and a lot of other things that are available to be able to listen to our podcasts. So,
yeah, Pandora and RDO are a couple of apps that you can tap into that way. Amazon MP3 is another one for audio files. If you've been building a library of audio files, Amazon MP3 is a mobile app which brings that into your hand, and you can easily plug it into a set of speakers too. And give yourself better sound, better audio if your handset is needing that. There's a jack on the smartphone that lets you plug it into speakers. I got an app that's parrot sound because I love the sound of parrots, right?
Yeah, there's so many other things I'm just looking at to do. Skype is available on there, so with the newer phones and FaceTime, so we can do video. You can do video calls. Not just from your desktop with the camera. You can be able to do FaceTime messages via Skype, and just be able to connect with people around the world for free. Just remember when we had to make long distance phone calls from something that was more than 40 miles away from us?
Yeah, but you can't have a pocket full of quarters.
Yep. Yeah, cool. So, there's just so many other possibilities, and, we could probably just, ramble forever on some of the things. But let's, we talked about that. Searches, clouds. Where else can we go?
The picture camera are very powerful tools on the mobile set that are underutilized. And further, that we could enhance our social media presence by using pictures and photos with our messages, right? So if we're using, whether it might be an app like Facebook for the handset, it could be YouTube, right? We could make our YouTube videos with our mobile device in the field and upload them directly to YouTube without having to edit them. And if we're happy with that, it's definitely, a way to expand your presence, your online presence. You can brand yourself accordingly. You can position yourself as an expert using those apps. You can keep it on your device if you want to have a private video. And you can edit it later and post it after it's been edited. You can send it as a single message, a direct message. I think the video camera is going to be even more used in the future. I mean, are the kids, are they learning to write like they used to, compose, or would they rather just do a video? There's a lot of that going on. So
I think for a lot of people, because I've been working with some video coaches, and one of the big questions that just keeps coming up in every presentation that I've seen with them is the people from our age, boomers and beyond, who are a little phobic about being on camera, knowing what to say or how we're presenting ourselves. And I guess, it's like anything else, is we're going to have to jump in being able to do this. The way we present ourselves on the camera is really the way that we look. So we can be able to find ways to be able to do that. But just go and look at YouTube and see the raw videos that are out there that are getting thousands of hits. I think we grew up in an era where everything had to be able to be perfect. That's why we saw television, we saw radio, everything was perfect in front of us. But the times have changed, and that raw, authentic human connection is really what people are thriving for. And the more that we can be able to utilize some of these apps, the camera phone, the pictures, the voice recordings, and be able to get that out there. Because if we are dealing with a lot of technology, and like we started out to say, sometimes we're losing some of that face-to-face conversation. But you're probably looking at there's a whole lot of worlds, where everybody's primary need is to be able to be recognized and validated. And we can be able to, take a step out, and everybody's got a message, everybody's got a voice that they can be able to share. And utilizing some of these things are going to allow you to be able to get your message out to even bigger amounts of people and serve the world better. And we all need some more connection that way.
Yep. I think the phone is a tool. Some of us are further along than others, but it doesn't matter how far someone else is. What matters is, do you know where you are, where you want to go, and are you taking steps? Is it important enough to you that you're ready to take some steps and you towards goals like promoting your brand and establishing yourself as an expert and displaying your services or your capabilities? And I think the video as an example, or the mobile handset, just communicating with others with a smartphone is a very powerful tool in your tool belt, so to speak, to get that get those business goals accomplished. So I, for one, am thrilled by the notion of helping people harness this and make their own business more successful. Just like they have in the past from their desktop, why not extend that to the field and
exactly.
Give yourself more opportunities? And, in the olden days, we had Kodak paper or Fuji paper. We had to go down to the developer, and every photo had to be perfect. Well, today we got a digital thing. If it doesn't work out, you delete it on the spot. Big deal. Memory storage on the phone is 500 times more than it was 2 years ago or 3 years ago. It keeps expanding. Cost is not an issue. It's just try it. There's no barriers.
Right. And I think you said something that's important, too, is for a lot of people, is they're thinking, well, I'm so far behind on this, I'll never catch up. And and that's part of the reason for this series, is to be able to look at it. You are where you are, and that's okay. The fact is that you're coming to these calls, or you have these questions about that, is be able to tap into people who've already on that learning curve, and there's still more to learn. As a Twitter expert, I know that there's a ton more of things about Twitter that I don't even know yet. But I'm farther along, and I know that I can be able to teach people about how to be able to use this and how to be able to get started. The same way with Doug, Deidre, and everybody else who's going to be on in this series, is they've already learned some of these things, and they're willing to be able to help you along your way. And as they develop their skills, they're going to be able to continue to stay plugged in with you to be able to share even more with you. So, Doug, share again where they can be able to connect with you and the sites where they can be able to find your videos, if they want to be able to learn on their own, or how they might be able to work with you in the future to be able to get a doctorate in their cell phone.
Thanks for the invite. They can find me online at honestintentions.com. That's my webpage. There's a free resources, a set of videos there. There's a series of eight videos that I made for mobility freedom. And that's one place. Then my YouTube channel is Intentional Honesty. But honestintentions.com, doug@honestintentions.com for email. I'm certainly game to connect with you on social media and just start a conversation. Everyone can teach someone, even if you
on
your phone yesterday. So that definitely is something that we all believe and want to try to endorse that and support that as you build up your own skills and confidence using these technology gadgets.
Okay, so honestintentions.com is the hub where they can be able to get the free resources. They can find your YouTube. They can find your all your social media connections at honestintentions.com, right?
Correct, yes.
Excellent. Okie doke. Well, I know we have got a couple people on the line, so if anybody has any other questions that's something we may not have covered, feel free just to be able to press *6. And if there are no questions in a minute or so, we'll wrap this baby up.
Hello, it's Deidre. I have a question.
Okay, hey Deidre.
Hey there. I work from home most of the time, so I have a Skype phone number that I use, so I don't find that I really need a mobile phone. But I do have a tablet that I can use when I'm out places. And I don't have a smartphone. I have a mobile phone, but I don't need to have all the Android stuff on the phone. But I do have the tablet for that. But my question is, I have started to look at some apps that I wanted to download. Doug, we talked about Zoho app for one thing, and it says we want to connect to this and that and the other, or your contacts, your this and your that. And is that standard practice? Is that okay? Am I opening myself up for a lot of invasion from them? What is the situation on that?
Yeah,
I've tried a couple of them, and they all say that.
Yeah, there's general guidance. I would say always question the source. Is it a trusted source? And for
okay.
me, and you and me, Zoho is a trusted source for us.
Right.
So if I'm downloading an app like Zoho and it says it wants to connect with my Google contacts or some, you know, my Apple directory, then I'm going to be okay with it because I initiated it and I trust Zoho, so it's okay to connect. So the ones to watch out for are the ones that are strange. I would not trust something that wasn't initiated by me and or is out of the box, strange, I've never done it before type of thing.
Okay.
So, yeah, I say yes.
Okay.
You know, authenticate with Twitter or authenticate with Facebook. That's often, you know, comes up something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay.
Cool.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Deidre. All righty. So that's probably going to be all that we've got for today. So, Doug, I really appreciate it. I know hopefully we shared a lot of light and been able to demystify the smartphone and just, you know, roll back the clouds a little bit, all puns intended, is to be able to see what your capacities are, what's sitting there at your fingertips, and how you can be able to better utilize these things to be able to, and we talked about some of the beginning steps, some of the, you know, get a CRM system, you know, you're texting, your email, your calendar syncing up, utilizing YouTube and Evernote and a lot of great applications that we've used to be able to make you more productive. So, Doug, you got any other final things
It might seem, no matter how much dark clouds it might seem to be with your computing life, just know that there's blue sky behind those dark clouds.
Nothing but blue sky. Oh,
you can,
sorry,
you can,
I'm supposed to play the song.
You can be productive. I mean, go for it. It's we live in an amazing time. The if you look at the history of civilization, what is available? If you just go to Wikipedia or whatever, it's all online and in our hand today. It's an exciting thing. We are able to do things. The democratization. I'm thrilled about being an agent for enabling the individual to improve things this way. So,
excellent. Well, Doug, we appreciate your time, your knowledge, your energy to be able to share these things, and this is why, you know, we're in sync to be able to help empower people to get more messages across, change the world. So appreciate you being a part of our little series here. And we just, you know, look forward to the next calls. So just, you know, tune back in to GaryLoper.com, look for the next calls, and we appreciate you spending some time with us today. So thank you again, everybody. All right, have a great day, everybody. Bye now.
Bye, Gary.